The question I want to ask with today's gospel is, why these three particular temptations? You know, why did the devil choose these three temptations versus trying to tempt the Lord with something else? He could have used any temptation he wanted. But one of the reasons why these temptations are significant is because they parallel the temptations of Adam and Eve. And when they disobeyed God, the way that that the enemy had distorted their thinking. And we see that if we look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. It lists three things in that passage that happened with Adam and Eve as they were being tempted and gave into it. And the first is that they saw that the tree, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, was good for food. So the first thing that they noticed is that it satisfied their physical desires. And in the first temptation of Christ, that's what the devil does. He says, turn this stone into bread. The second temptation, part of the temptation, was the desire for worldly goods. It says that Adam and Eve saw that the fruit of the tree delighted their eyes. And the second temptation of Christ is he saw all the kingdoms of the world in their power and glory. The third part of the temptation was to place our will above God's will and to seek things out the way that we want them and not the way that God wants them, which is rooted in pride. And it says that Adam and Eve took and ate the fruit because they saw it was desirable for gaining wisdom. They were seeking to gain wisdom in a way that was opposed to God's will. And the third temptation of Christ was to throw himself from the temple and allow the angels to raise him up. You know, that would have been something, a stunt that people would have seen and given him glory rather than seeking glory through the cross, which is what the Father's plan was. And so that's one of the reasons why these three temptations are significant. But as we look at ourselves, why is this important for our own spiritual journey? Well, in part, it's important because all of us face temptations on a regular basis. Every day, we're going to be tempted by the enemy. And every single temptation that we face, and every single way that we often fall into sin, pertains to one of those three ways in which the original temptation worked on Adam and Eve. Because we inherit the disorder that comes from that sin. And so each one of us faces temptations and disorder related to one of those three ways. And so any sin that we fall into is probably related to one of those three. A desire for pleasure, the pleasures of this world and physical desires. Or secondly, a desire for worldly goods. Or third, to do our will versus God's will. And in the gospel, you know, Christ overcame these three temptations. But on our part, you know, we're going to struggle, and it's a battle to overcome these temptations. And sometimes we resist them, but other times we succumb to them. But one of the things that's important as we look at temptation, we often think of temptation as something that's bad and something that we simply need to resist. You know, which it's true, we need to resist temptation, but we can also use temptations to our advantage, because temptations reveal to us those areas within ourselves that are broken and need healing. And so we can learn important things about ourselves if we reflect upon what temptations we often face, and especially those that we fall into frequently. It reveals, you know, what unhealthy attachments we have, or what brokenness and disorder there is within ourselves. And these are the things that need to be healed in order for us to overcome sin. And so that self-knowledge is very important in the spiritual life and for growing in holiness. And so what's an example of this? Well, let's say somebody that there's someone who often criticizes others. They very often fall into that. They're constantly criticizing. Maybe they're picking on one of their siblings, or maybe it's a coworker, or someone that they're just constantly criticizing again and again and again. Well, the question that person needs to ask themselves is, why are they doing that? Why do they feel the need to constantly be criticizing someone else? What is the disorder internally that's leading that person to do that behavior. Maybe it's jealousy. Maybe they criticize others because they're jealous of the attention or the affirmation that that person gets. Or maybe they're jealous of certain talents that that person has, and they wish that they had those talents. And so they react to that by criticizing the other person. You know, and that might be rooted in their own insecurity. You know, sometimes people feel inferior to other people because they say, well, this other person has this gift or something that I want for myself. And so as that's revealed and brought to life, you know, the path to healing becomes clear. You know, if a person is able to see themselves with the dignity that God has created them with, you know, that God has given each one of us incredible gifts, and every one of us has value because we're created by God and because He loves us and created us in an act of love. When we're able to see that as the source of our dignity, that's where the healing's gonna come. And eventually, the person, if they follow that path, they'll come to a place where they can be grateful for the gifts that other people have, or be happy when other people receive affirmation or attention, and it's not going to bother them and lead them into sin. You know, another example, you know, a person might criticize others simply because they can. It might give them a sense of superiority over others. And it might make them feel stronger or better than others. It's rooted in pride. Well, why does the person seek that? Well, again, if that's brought to light, we can look at to Christ in order to heal that. You know, what brings someone actual superiority? You know, how is one a person become great? Well, the person is greatest who is the least. And the person is greatest who puts themselves at the service of others out of love. And so again, by bringing that to the light and seeing the teachings of Christ, you know, if a person then follows that path, it's going to lead to a healing, so they're no longer, you know, falling into that sin. Now, these are just a couple brief examples, but you know, the point is, but behind this is that whatever sins we struggle with and fall into, and whatever temptations we face, if we reflect upon those and look at a deeper level within ourselves as to why we're susceptible to that particular temptation, it can be very helpful to bring that to the light and see what disorder within us needs to be healed. And that opens the path to healing in Christ. And so when we go to confession, we confess our sins. Yeah, that's important for us to do. But there's also a great benefit when we go deeper and we confess the disorder that's leading us to that sin. You know, for example, if someone can say, well, I've been angry with my spouse. Or they can confess, you know, I've been angry with my spouse because I'm hurt when he or she doesn't listen to me. And instead of bearing with that with humility and love, I try and get back at them by yelling at them. You know, it brings the deeper disorder to the light. And temptations are weakened when we confess them. And also we receive the grace of healing in the sacrament. And so the path to healing becomes more visible. And it enables Christ to work on us and bring healing on a deeper level when we bring that to light. And so I encourage each one of us, you know, as we reflect upon today's readings about the temptation, and especially as we prepare for our Lenten confessions, to reflect upon what is behind the temptations and the sins that we face. And in bringing so, that will open up the path to a much deeper healing through the power of Christ.